And you just heard a piece of music from Sistan and Balochistan province, which I think it was very beautiful. And guess what? The residential area of the city, I mean Shahre Sukhte, located in Sistan and Balochistan province, is 80 hectares where people lived in this part at that time. There were various industries such as textile, masonry, jewelry, etc. in this city, which made it one of the most advanced cities in the world. 12 kinds of fabric are found among the ruins of the Shahre Sukhte that indicate the textile industry of the city. It's so great! The world's first known artificial eyeball with two holes in both sides and a golden thread to hold it in place has been unearthed from the skeleton of a woman's body in Shahre Sukhte. There was a well-managed pottery system in the city for water supply and sewage. Shahre Sukhte was registered in the UNESCO World Heritage List in June 2014. And that's really great. Archaeologists have found traces of cloth in the graves located in Shahre Sukhte. These fabrics were used either for wrapping the dead or in the form of underlays and covers. That happened many times ago. In these graves, many pottery objects have been discovered. One of these well-known pottery artifacts is a pottery vessel with a drawing of a goat and a tree. Giving the vessel a spin, one would see a goat leaping to snatch leaves from a tree. This may be recognized as the first animation movie in the world. Great. So let's see what Anand Mohan Bain from India says. Anand Mohan Bain is one of our old and regular listeners from India who says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, I am Anand Mohan Bain, an old listener of yours. I regularly listen to the programs and send the reception reports. The radio sometimes sounds good, but sometimes the reception is very bad. I hope my reception report will be useful for your technicians." Salam, Anand Mohan, and warm greetings from Tehran, Iran. Many thanks for writing to us. We welcome your views about the quality of our programs because your views actually help us promote the quality of the broadcast. So you said the radio sometimes sounds good, but sometimes the reception is very bad. So we inform our engineers and technicians about this trouble, and we hope that they will fix it very soon. So, Anand Mohan Bain from India, please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Welcome back. This is another edition of Listeners Special, and we were talking about the Shahre Sukhte in Sistan and Balochistan province. You might have asked yourself why this is called the Burnt City, the Shahre Sukhte. Researchers say Shahre Sukhte used to be an industry which had a lot of furnaces. Therefore, ash was found due to the activity of industrial furnaces around the city. And when archaeologists first spotted ash in this city, came to the idea to call this city Shahre Sukhte, literally the burnt city. Actually, the real name of this city is not clear yet. The wonders of Shahre Sukhte are a lot, and researchers are still studying about this ancient city. One of the most significant conclusions derived from these findings is that the inhabitants of Shahre Sukhte had been really civilized and peace-seeking people. Just imagine, it happened many years ago in Iran. Yes, our beautiful Iran is, of course, full of wonders and beauties. So, let's see what Volkan Atasevier from Turkey says. "Dear IRIB English Radio, I am a computer engineer, writer, poet, and collector. I'm also an amateur radio operator and a radio listener. Radio communication and shortwave radio also contribute to my professional knowledge. I want a QSL card from your radio station." Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm grateful to you, Volkan from Turkey, for sending this email to IRIB English Radio. So, you're a computer engineer and writer, poet and collector. Nice job. You're very talented. We wish you luck, Volkan Atasevir from Turkey. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Well, time tells me we have to wrap up this edition of Listeners Special, but before saying goodbye to you, I just wanted to send my warm appreciations and gratitude to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Juha Vair from Finland, Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Anand Mohan Bain from India, and Volkan Atasevir from Turkey. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with us. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to IRIB English Radio, where we will be exploring the Islamic upbringing of children and youth, guided by the wisdom of the Quran and the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. Today we are honored to have Sister Salma Khalfan, a distinguished Islamic researcher, with us to shed some light on this important subject. Salaamu Alaikum, Sister Salma, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Alaikum Salaam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. Thank you so much for having me over.
So we had been discussing about the question in the previous episode, which was, this lady saying that her 15-year-old daughter doesn't connect with her, doesn't talk with her, and she doesn't know what she's going through, and that the daughter feels that she's nagging very much. So how to make this relationship better in order for the daughter to confide in her? And you said that, you know, sometimes they become aloof because they want their independence, or because maybe the parents are not active listeners, or the mother has to try and make the girl feel more reassured and that she should feel that empathy when, you know, confiding with her mother.
And also that calmness of the behavior should be felt so that they can come out with what problem they have.
Yeah.
Now, as when they start talking, then there should be no judgments passed. For example, but I think this way, or this is the case. Mm-hmm. No. Or there should be no advice given.
Don't Straight you think? Away?
Yeah. No advice given, or there should be no arguments done. Why did you do that? No. It should be just listening.
Okay.
Listening with an open mind. And then, you know, when they listen with empathy and share, and probably something that maybe it's very difficult for them to, feel very bad about on account of that, then the parents should even agree to that. Say that it must be very hard for you.
Yeah.
I can imagine what you must be going through. So this understanding, this empathy is very important for them. That's the first step.
Okay.
So they may then tell, then they may see, then they may ask for guidance also and ask them, what do you think should be done? Once you get that, what do you think should be done? Then you can offer your very, very, you know, like polite and loving guidance that you don't want them to go astray. If they don't ask, then you can tell them at the end, after posing a lot,
yeah,
then don't you think that if, for example, you would do this or you'd go about this way, this is being very careful, you see.
It's like you're trying to make them reach the conclusion by themselves just by you guiding them slowly.
As you, they should take the conclusion themselves. Yeah. That's a very important point you said, that then they'll really enjoy doing that.
They feel they made the decision.
They made the decision, exactly. There are so many problems that they might be facing in school, for example. You know, maybe their grades are not proper. Maybe their friends tease them a lot or something like that. Then they are just like, perplexed of how to go about it. What to do? What do they answer back? Or do they keep quiet? Things like that can be discussed at length with the parent, whatever she deems that is right according to the Islamic way and the human way. Okay? Then they can be guided right. And of course, then, you know, make them so like feel confident and get so much reassurance and love from the family that they don't even need it from outside.
Very true.
You know, they feel so full of that love that they can now give that love.
Definitely.
They don't need to receive it and be reassured.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that they are hungry for that love. You should give them those ounces of love that they feel that they can tackle with any kind of problem because they have a strong hold with them.
Yeah, there's something to lean on.
Yeah.
Definitely. So we're just going to take a quick break and we'll be back soon.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
So welcome back to Arab English Radio, and we have been discussing about one of the questions about how the lady wanted to connect with her daughter. And one of the very important things you said was the calmness in the behavior that you have with the child. And when the child starts to open up, you know, you don't have to be judgmental or give advices straight away or start arguments. Rather, just try and listen and they will slowly, you know, open up. And it's kind of you're going to let them reach the conclusion on their own.
That's right.
Yeah.
Another way to actually enhance this conversation and talking with a daughter who is like remains aloof. In fact, this is a bit rare because many daughters want to speak a lot to their parents. Only sometimes, really, you know, the parents don't have time for the children, or they don't show proper empathy, or they feel that it, you know, this is second hand for them. Like they're always there, they take it for granted. The parents take it for granted. They don't consciously do things for the children to make them feel that now, okay, they're going through a phase. They need more. You see,
yeah,
like a child who's reaching the teenage age has so many changes going on, body, hormonal changes, thought changes, feelings, emotions, all these things change rapidly. So at this time, they themselves don't understand certain things and they become frustrated. So they want so much support. And the parents, they just see that this is an everyday thing. My child is growing up in front of me. Yeah. They don't realize that there's a big shift from childhood to now teenage years between adulthood and a child is the teenage, you see?
Yeah.
Between an adult and a child is the teenage phase. So don't realize this, so they take it for granted. So it happens so that things keep on going and building up, and then becomes a relationship that is so icy cold. When they grow up, they get married, they remain aloof, and life goes on like that, instead of that warmth to be there always, and that love and that caring and the dua exchanging of each other. Even the child doesn't feel like praying so much for the mother or being with the mother, remembering the mother or the parents, for instance. The father, even the mother can cover up for the father. That much she's strong, you know. Like if the father is not around, the mother can cover up and compensate and even talk good of the father that he doesn't have time, but he loves you so much. So the child will always feel that, I have a reassurance there that my parents love me. Because at some point in time, the father will show the love. Of course, he didn't have time so much to be together with the children. But then he will feel like wanting, and he will want it to be reciprocated also.
Definitely.
And even he'll get reciprocation, he'll feel bad about it. So the mother is the one to do all this. Now here, very important point is for her to be positive.
Yeah.
Positive attitude is very important in every kind of way, that it opens up the areas of conversation. For example, if I'm negative in anything, oh, today it was so cold, I'm so sick, okay, I can't bear it now, I have to sleep, I'm tired, I can't cook, you people do it yourself, or things like that, or the floor is so dirty, it's so messy, or your room is always dirty, and tidy your room.
Negative energy.
Negative, oh, this person did this, or, oh, look at this, it's so late, oh, you've come so late, all these negative things pile up for a negative behavior and for that anxiety to be filled in the air, the atmosphere. So you should be like always positive, always. Oh, like for example, if the daughter looks good, today you look very nice. Or suddenly, oh, you look too happy now, alhamdulillah. Or you prayed very nicely. Or for example, you look very clean. Or your bath has made you fresh. Or for example, this so-and-so person did this to me. Or what a nice handbag that person had, yeah? Everything should be in the positive way. So ultimately, the child learns positivity rather than negativity and no complaints.
Very true.
So positivity is too important in every way. In fact, our religion teaches a lot about positivity. We can talk that later on.
Yeah, inshallah. Thank you. We're just going to take a short break and we'll be back soon.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
Welcome back, dear listeners, and we have been discussing about how to create this bond between a mother and child so that they're able to confide. And the last thing you mentioned, Sister Salma, was that they're going through so many changes in their life, they need that support, and so the parents have to try and keep like a positive environment, give positive comments, because that's going to really affect their the child's like happiness
moods.
And moods, and definitely.
So even in our religion of Islam, we are told to be so positive. For example, if you've sinned, Allah says, I'll still accept it as long as you are not doing it purposely. Purposely means to anger Allah. Doing something to anger Allah. I think 99% of the humans don't have this in their intention, that I want to anger Allah, that's why I'm doing this. So how to be hopeful of Allah's mercy? When there's a hadith that says that however my servant thinks of me, I am that way for him. So if I think that he's loving me, attending to me, and forgiving my mistakes, and knowing my weaknesses, maybe if I commit some mistakes or sins, so he knows this is my weakness, so he'll still give me other chances. Though I always, when I do Tawbah, I have to tell myself, no, I won't return back to that sin. But Allah is too compassionate. So, you know, all these things are so positive. Yeah. Our deen, Islam is so positive. So Allah is teaching us that, you know, be positive in your character, so your attitude at home, with all those around you, you know, give that air of positivity to your children so that they even can learn that and become successful and not, you know, become disheartened or anxious about little things. They will know a way, a window to get out of that situation.
Definitely. And I think that's, like you said, that's what Islam is all about. And that's why one of the bigger, greater sins, very important ones, was, doing yes, you know, losing hope in Allah. Allah wants us to constantly have hope in Him, you know, that we can always turn back to Him no matter what situation we're in. So I think that's very, very important for youth to know, because that is why, you know, suicide rates are going high, or, you know, other, like, getting into addictions. When you have this kind of pure source to turn to all the time, you kind of realize that nothing else is more important, and you will turn to Him.
Yeah.
And like you said, all of these things are what's going to cultivate and make you go towards that pure Lord.
That's true.
You know, kind of forget that these other things are not as important.
Exactly. So positivity should be inculcated in a teenager who wants to have an open conversation, like to the parent. The parent wants, you know, to have an open conversation, a good conversation, a friendly conversation, a loving, empathetic conversation. So they should be positive, to give that feeling out of positivity, so that the child knows that even if I talk to my parents, they'll be positive about me. They won't be, say, you know, like looking at my negative aspects. They won't complain and say, they will look at the good half side of the beauty of it.
Yeah.
So inshallah, we also look at it and look at all the teachings of our religion and go towards this, so that we can bring our children to become our good companions and
definitely
our friends. Yeah.
And I think it's actually not so difficult to open up with your teenagers. I remember when I used to teach, sometimes some teenagers, they would be very aloof, but it's not so difficult to, you know, kind of tap into their feelings. You just have to show your compassionate side. You have to show that you'll give them time. You're not going to judge them. All of these things make them feel that they can confide in you.
Yeah.
So, inshallah, that all parents are become such that all their children.
The thing is, only the parents sometimes close their minds to the fact that they were young one day. So if we open our minds one day that we were young and how we were feeling, then, and get to their minds, then we would be able to have a very good rapport.
Definitely.
Very good, you know, like relationship.
Inshallah. So thank you so much for joining us today. The discussion was very fruitful. And dear listeners, thank you very much for listening. And this was IRIB English Radio, where we had a discussion on child upbringing. If you want to listen to our programs or get more information, you can log on to parstoday.ir/en under the tab COI, which is Call of Islam. And if you type in Call of Islam Radio, you can find it on YouTube and Instagram. And you can also email us on englishradio@irib.ir. God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Allah, 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 Allah.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می‌کند
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. الله ولا إله إلا الله الله يا الله والله أكبر.
July 12, 1983. Place Hosseinia Jamaran, Tehran. Subject: Spiritual Purification and Focus on Spirituality. The contents of the mandatory prayer are also expression of glorification of Allah and takbir. In every verse of the verses, either He is praised or glorified. Praise is because Allah is more immaculate than you worship Him at the same time that you glorify and has permitted you to glorify Him, and therefore He is praised and He is glorified. You begin the mandatory prayer with His glorification. You begin the praise and you regard praise to be solely due to Allah. I do not think that the understanding of this subject and the passion of this subject, that praise is exclusive to Allah, has become apparent, and that the essence of praise cannot occur for other than Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. This is the Spring of the Truth, and I am Bita, the host of today's episode. We're going to start with this sentence from Imam Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran and its revolution. So the sentence of today is, strive in knowledge and taqwa, as knowledge is not exclusive to anyone. Knowledge belongs to all. So, as we know, Islam is one religion which gives a special concept to knowledge. The scholars are living a life in their books after they have passed away from this world. History witnessed those scholars who passed away more than the businessman lived in history. Growing our children under the blanket of knowledge is better than sending them to work. So, if you water the seeds by helping the children to read, they will shed the upcoming ummah. Allah Almighty says, God will raise those who have believed among you and those who have been given knowledge by degrees. Ibn Abbas said, scholars are 100 degrees above the believers, and between them is 100 years. So knowledge is the path to winning paradise and a way to escape from hell. Abu Huraira reported that whoever follows a path in pursuit of knowledge, Allah will make his path to heaven easy for him. The words of the scholars among the companions and those after multiplied about the knowledge and its virtues because they knew its values and saw its importance in the lives of Muslims. Seeking knowledge is better than prayers, and after the obligatory prayers is not better than seeking knowledge. And whoever does not like knowledge, there is no good in it. So there is no knowledge or friendship between you and him. The scholars are loved in the heaven and the earth. Allah loves them and they love him. Knowledge remains his trace for men, alive and dead. So his memory will be immortalized when the next, even if he is buried under the soil.
Ya Rabbana salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi
صلى الله عليه
صل
يا رسول الله
يا ربنا صل على طه النبي وآله.
Scholars are a safety for the people of Islam and a fence for people of faith. There is something better in the world than prophethood, and what comes after prophethood is something better than knowledge and jurisprudence. Muslims, who distinguished themselves as patrons of learning, established some of the biggest libraries of times. The great intellectuals of their age, the renowned translators who were entrusted with the responsibility for the organization and maintenance of libraries.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha إلا الله.
América Latina y el mundo observa.
Latin America and the world observe in disbelief what is happening in Argentina. How is it possible for the people of a nation with so many democratic traditions of struggle, of workers' rights, of national construction, of the quest for national independence, to choose a character who is the complete opposite?
Y que es todo lo contrario. Quien se reclama anarcoliberal, anarcho-capitalista,
who claims to be a narco-liberal, a narco-capitalist, a Zionist, a son of the United States, who has said that he is going to end all state companies. Even now, at this moment, he has stopped delivering new contracts to existing state companies.
Nuevos contratos a las empresas estatales existentes.
They are finished. The same in health, in education in Argentina. The free education for a long time. Today, nothing. That has finished. How is it possible that this happens in a country that had those traditions? How did it come to that? Who paved the road? Yes, they will have to respond for what they were before. The people who applied policies that left the majority dissatisfied, the policies such as those that the International Monetary Fund imposed upon even the government of Alberto Fernandez that comes from Peronism. A Peronism that has a catch-all policy, diverse policies, but always looking at what the Monetary Fund decides. But even so, what is happening now is practically inexplicable.
De cualquier manera, está claro.
Either way, it is clear that Milei is a pawn of American imperialism and Zionism. He declares himself a Zionist. When he takes office, he invites his Zionist friend and puppet of the United States, Zelensky, who is leading his country to bleed, to death, and to obey the interests of NATO and imperialism. Well, what can we expect when he comes today, when he proposes a series of measures that have led to thousands of workers, students, residents, indigenous people, taking to the streets to protest? To demand their right.
A protestar, a exigir su derecho. No pocas personas.
Quite a few people who voted for Milei, for Javier Milei, are already on the streets. Javier Milei has spoken about lineage, and he governs with lineage, with the Menem lineage, with Macri's lineage, that is, with the extreme right. That's what we have ahead of us. And how is he going to do it? He has a minority in parliament. He has a minority in the provincial governments and in the mayors. How is he going to govern by decree with a subterfuge looking for ways to fix the law and a kind of dictatorship like Fujimori's in the end? These are questions that time and the Argentinian reality will answer. But we are all looking forward. More so to the neighboring countries such as Chile, Bolivia, etc. Brazil, for sure, and Uruguay. What is going to happen with the emigration of Argentines who are going to look for new places, new expectations of life, where in addition the conditions are also bad?
Están malas. ¿Qué ha pasado? ¿Qué queda?
What happened? What's left? Argentina becomes a colony of the United States, who is going to give away its natural resources to North American companies, such as lithium, right? They have recently approved a special law in this regard that protects the interests of the Americans, the property of Americans.
La propiedad del norteamericano, sin lugar a duda.
Without a doubt, at the same time, it has come into contradiction with its main contributor in foreign currency, more than 43% of it, that is, with the People's Republic of China. China has told up to this point. Up to here, sir, there is no more currency. Where are you going to get money from? From sales of state companies? And then what remains? Nothing? How are you going to carry out his management by increasing repression, as he has done? Do not forget that he has demanded the payments of $75,000 to the popular organizations that have raised the current protests in Argentina. This is Black and White. I'm Eduardo Artes.
Eduardo Artes. Hoy día vamos a trabajar en profundidad sobre las causas.
Today we want to deeply discuss the causes and consequences of Javier Milei's election. How was he chosen? What was the background? And what are the results of the views and interests of the workers?
Salidas que hay desde un punto de vista popular de los intereses de los trabajadores, porque estamos con un dirigente.
Today we are with a high-ranking syndicate leader. Welcome back to Black and White, Jorge Ramirez, university lecturer and leader of the Argentine Union at the national level.
Bienvenido, Jorge Ramirez, a Negro y Blanco por Hispan TV.
Thank you very much.
Jorge, un poco la pregunta que yo planteaba.
Jorge, I mentioned a part of the question. What records are there, and how did the Argentine nation get to the point where it chose Milei? Despite all the issues he has with him, I mean in terms of social, economic, national sovereignty, and other areas, who is he?
Por favor, adelante.
Bueno, indudablemente, el deterioro en las condiciones de la vida.
Yes, without a doubt, the decline in the living conditions of a very wide segment of the Argentine society was one of the causes of this situation. And the current situation in Argentina is because an extremist president has come to power there, whose statements, even before the elections, have really been deplorable for the majority of the society. But definitely, a high percentage of the society has expressed dissatisfaction with the traditional politics of Argentina, with Peronism and the previous government at that time, despite the promises and discourse of the so-called defense of the sovereignty and interests of the people. What happened was a gradual decline in the living conditions of the vast majority of people, which exacerbated in recent months. This issue is clearly related to the agreement that was made between the previous government and the International Monetary Fund, as well as the adoption of policies that we have repeatedly seen in different countries of the world, and specifically in Argentina, which include the reaction of government investments. And this action causes a large part of the economy to shrink. In fact, the health sector and education sector were damaged. Argentina has always been proud of these two sectors, public health and public education. Despite the fact that a candidate suddenly comes along and pursues the elimination of government systems and seeks complete privatization of education and health sectors, the majority of people, at least the part that participated in the election, chose this candidate. But today, they're clearly tired of the past experiences. They are tired of pushing themselves towards the great powers, or in some cases dealing with centralized or imperialist interests, but never severing their fundamental connection with capitalism and still having their country depend on it. They are tired of the fact that only one or few specific strata in the society benefit, and at the same time, they try to have a level of freedom through which they can direct the political performance of the governments in the direction of their desire. But this issue showed its ineffectiveness over time, because in practice, for the majority of the society, this meant a continuous lowering of the standard of living conditions. After all, there were many things that made Argentines proud, such as workers' rights, the workers' social security system, which is undoubtedly an indicator of superiority compared to other countries, and also compensation regulations, the defense of workers' interests in lawsuits, and the consideration of workers in legislation. Regarding these indicators, Argentina was far ahead compared to other countries. But today, none of these things are important anymore, because the number of people who have official works and their jobs are registered is decreasing. Their jobs are completely low and informal, and for this reason, these so-called useless benefits, which include part of the working class, do not benefit the rest. There is no pension, compensation, or social security for them. These benefits do not include a part of the society whose number is growing. Therefore, in such a situation, the possibility of responding to political parties which have been in power in the past years has decreased. And the common discourse in extreme right-wing parties around the world has spread here as well. And they say that politics was the cause of this issue, and they blame politics. They deny movements that bring progress and say that public health and government jobs are harmful. They say government costs are the biggest problem. This discourse has penetrated a large part of the society, and now it has led to the election of President Milei. This discourse still has a level of acceptability, although its specific effects were very severe from the beginning. In the past, we have talked about these issues and the shock doctrine, deep and radical changes against the vast majority of the society, the loss of workers' rights, the destruction of the scientific system, the destruction of the government health structure through the elimination of funding. Similar efforts have been made for this purpose in our country and other Latin American countries. What these efforts have in common, however, is that they have been swift and violent and have publicly threatened to suppress any popular protests and dissent.
Let's pause here. Regarding this threat of repression, yes, well, there was a background, someone paved the way for us to get here, and you explained it very well. We'll take a short break and be right back with Jorge Ramirez, union leader and public university lecturer in Argentina.
Estamos acá, ¿no es cierto?, con Jorge Ramírez y continuamos en Negro y Blanco. Jorge, inmediatamente instalada o instalado el gobierno.
Here we are with Jorge Ramírez, and we continue Black and White. Jorge, immediately after the start of the Milei government, we saw demonstrations which were covered very well by the Chilean press, and it was definitely talked about in all Spanish-speaking countries and all countries of the world. What are these demonstrations? What sections of society do they represent? And finally, what is the content of the demonstrations? And do you refer to this as a spontaneous movement?
Yes, a number of people from every political spectrum were present in this demonstration. On the other hand, there are calls from the leftist groups, various leftist groups that call at the same time as the anniversary of that memorable event in the history of Argentina, December 20, 2001. On this date, huge crowds of Argentines across the country took to the streets and defied the martial law and overthrew a neoliberal government led by Fernando de la Rúa. During this anniversary, a call was announced which coincided with the 10th day of the start of the Milei government. This demonstration was generally organized by human rights organizations, various groups in the left wing, and some social organizations. Participation by groups close to the previous government was low, preferring to use social media for criticism to avoid the repercussions, as the government had announced early on that it would use force to crack down and warned that it would not allow their streets to be closed. And considering these conditions, they tried to hold demonstrations on the sidewalks because passers-by are not important to the government and cars are the problem. Therefore, thousands of people tried to demonstrate on the sidewalks, but this did not happen. People demonstrated, but with caution to avoid falling into the trap of incitement. But the media, most of the media, expressed their concern about the possibility of violence in closing the streets and said that this is the main problem. It's as if people don't want food, education, or health, and they try to block the street. This level of contradiction is the dominant discourse of most media in our country, media that has a lot of influence. Yes.
Entonces, eso fue. Sí.
Alberto Fernández, en un Twitter, dice que es la República la que está en peligro.
Alberto Fernández, former president of Argentina, announced on Twitter, formerly known as X, that the Republic is in danger. It is strange because he himself caused this to happen. As you yourself say, we're facing a repression that can be very strong. For us in Chile, this issue has attracted our attention because this policy was implemented during the Pinochet dictatorship in Chile. They did the same thing: privatization, removal of labor laws, destruction of national industry, and many other things. These are exactly the actions that Milei had proposed. And finally, this will lead to public disgust. How can one confront these measures by aligning popular movements?
De repudio, no de contradicción con los sectores populares. ¿Cómo es posible enfrentarlo esto? Dotando al movimiento popular de una dirección.
Alignment in the social and political context, for example, the important parts of Peronism that can play a role. They have to correct some things. And finally, the Communist Party and the Liberty Party of Argentina.
Que tendrá que rectificar algunas cosas, ¿no? ¿Qué pasa con el Partido Comunista, con el Partido de la Liberación de Argentina? En fin.
No, claramente este escenario.
Clearly, the protests will have a different form in terms of political guidance. It is clear that in the previous government, there are sections that claim to be leftist and participate in the government of Albert Fernandez. And today, they're in the same political environment that is currently called Union for the Fatherland. But what one sees is how some sectors are disintegrating and reorganizing in the face of this onslaught from Milei. As you rightly point out, previously, programs of this depth were only implemented by dictatorial regimes. In many ways, it's very similar to what Carlos Menem did here. But in this case, the immediate effects of the actions are too difficult for the majority of people. In this situation, one can see that a trend will definitely change the makeup of the political scene. So, similar to what we saw in 2001, and we saw the formation of a political management for the demonstrations, I mean, the demonstrations that were very large and inclusive, and there was a lot of participation in them, we also saw a similar situation in Chile a few years ago. Demonstrations that are very crowded, extensive, demanding, and have a clear program. But it was able to lead a political process of autonomy, independence, social freedom in the society in which the majority has the authority of its own destiny. This will definitely happen. Until today, apart from the words that are being said, we have not seen larger-scale demonstrations by the Communist Party. In the field of Peronists and groups that are closer to popular demands and have planned demands regarding national independence and the working class as a fundamental part, we have not seen them play a significant role until this moment. Of course, they are changing the situation and defining new positions in facing the new arena. Also, it does not seem practical that some small and new organizations can enter the field of struggle against this extreme brutality in Argentina. The proposed programs are very reactionary and related to the 19th and early 20th centuries.
Y eso, sí.
Te pregunto lo siguiente. Mira, las medidas que está tomando Milei son tan antinacionales.
Yes, I will ask you the next question. Milei's actions are so anti-national, they are so in the interests of imperialism. Even regarding lithium, he recently announced that he will definitely hand over lithium to the Americans.
A la propiedad sin ningún tipo de ¿cómo se llama? De traba ninguna, ¿no? Ni beneficio casi para Argentina. Entonces,
He even wants a special law to protect Americans and their property. And this law has almost no benefit for Argentina. Therefore, it is true that the policy of Milei hurts the poor, workers, and ethnic groups, but they also harm the small and medium bourgeoisie, and even the big bourgeoisie and part of the company owners. With all due respect, what it looks like from here is the creation of a great anti-imperialist front, because what is happening in Argentina is not unrelated to what is happening in the world around the conflict between American imperialism and us. They want us to surrender and not let a new relationship between countries be established.
Y llevarnos a impedir, ¿no?, que simplemente se cree una nueva relación entre los países.
Eso es muy claro.
This is very clear. The country's submission to U.S. policy is quite clear. This is very obvious with the example you provided. We're witnessing the dismantling of the law of restricting the right to purchase land by foreigners who are allowed to buy water areas, rivers, and various resources of the country. They call this freedom. This is the literature of the extreme right all over the world. But clearly, here, beyond what seems like rhetoric, these actions mean the imposition of the great ambitions of imperialism, subduing the economy based on their own needs and eliminating any kind of national production, although the bourgeoisie in Argentina in recent times have not been distinctly nationalist, and their sections that have interests. Domestic markets give them life, as well as some others who try to maintain some degree of self-sufficiency in production, and see that they're now practically eliminated. Therefore, there is no question about creating a front that can stand in the face of these issues and the type of personality that makes this possible in the anti-imperialist personality.
We have 1 minute left, and in this short time, we would like to hear your words, please, and we would like them to be focused on the academic world, which we in Chile and many Latin American countries have a lot of respect for, because it is free and very inclusive. Please let me know what you think about this. How does this section get damaged?
Yes, without a doubt. So far, what is clear is that the budget is going to be cut, and the resources will only be there until March or April, both in the practical system and in public universities. This means the disarmament of Argentina in a very necessary case, which is the discussion of identity construction and education of scientists, researchers, and artists in public universities. This is marginalizing people who play an irreplaceable role in building the country. They want to bring them under the law of the market, in which the strongest is American imperialism.
El más fuerte es claramente el imperio norteamericano.
Así es.
Yes, that's right. We are looking forward to hearing new things in the news, and I believe that will surely happen because the Argentine nation has a history of very hard and breathtaking struggles. And we wish for complete success in defending national sovereignty in the form of an anti-imperialist personality against this pro-American and pro-Zionist government. Jorge Ramirez, thank you very much. This is Black and White.
Thank you very much for the invitation that gave me the opportunity to describe what is happening in Argentina. The oppressed nations of the world should start a joint struggle from every region. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful. who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll discuss some of the contents of Chapter Naml, the 27th chapter of the Holy Quran, as well as some of the commentary points of the verses. Brothers and sisters, let's listen to the 10th and 11th verses of Chapter Naml.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وألقي عصاك فلما رآها تهتز كأنها جان ولا مدبرا ولم يعقب يا موسى لا تخف إني لا يخاف لدي المرسلون.
And he was told, throw down your staff. But when he saw it writhing as if it were a snake, he turned in flight and did not return. Allah said, O Moses, fear not. Indeed, in my presence, the messengers do not fear.
إلا من ظلم ثم بدل حسنا بعد سوء فإني غفور رحيم.
Otherwise, he who wrongs, then substitutes good after evil. Indeed, I am forgiving and merciful.
So, as you were with us in the previous episode, we mentioned that this part of the verse is really important, specifically because it talks about the mission of prophethood, especially before a cruel and unjust one like Pharaoh. So he needed some powers, he needed some authority, so he was helped with the Almighty Allah, with both outward and inward power and might, as well as a firm proof of legitimacy. So, the Almighty Allah orders him to throw down his rod to show it. So he throws down his staff and it turns suddenly into a very big serpent. Moses is scared, so it is also probable that at the beginning the staff changed into a small snake and then in later stages it became a great one. However the story was, it was told to Moses not to be afraid. So, in the next verse, Quran adds a kind of exception for this holy phrase. Surely the messengers shall not fear in my presence. But what kinds of people are those that fear in your presence? It says, إِلَّا مَنْ ظَلَمَ, save he who has been unjust. ثُمَّ بَدَّلَ حُسْنًا بَعْدَ سُوءٍ, then he does good instead after evil. For verily I am the forgiving, the merciful. So Allah accepts the penitence of those who repent. He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives them security, because absolutely he is the absolute cause.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability
to cover more of His divine
word. In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في